us with every grace and you. Mid toil and tribulation and tumult of a war, she waits the consummation of peace forevermore, till with the vision glorious alone inside the breast, and the great church victorious shall be the church at last. Yet she on earth has union with God the Three in One, and mystics seek communion with those whose Christ is one. Oh, happy ones and holy, Lord, give us praise that we like them the meek and
please be seated. Let us pray. Eternal and loving God, we thank you for this beautiful Sunday morning that you have given us. As we observe the Lent season, we are coming to the second Sunday in Lent. We thank you for the good health and strength that you give us in our bodies to be here and also online to worship you. We are alive one more day in this world only because of your grace and mercy and not because of our merits. We thank you for the gift of life and everything that you bless us with every day. We thank you for the seasons that change, like the seasons of our life that changes as we grow in this world and in you. As we look back, as the songwriter says, as we look on the springtime and harvest and summer and winter, we look back and see your faithfulness in our lives as we live out our lives in this world. Thank you for always being there for us, Lord. Your faithfulness is from everlasting to everlasting. Bless us today as we gather today to worship you, Lord, with your presence, that we can lift up your name and honor you and adore you and worship you with all the saints in this world and the angels in heaven. Lord, help us to lift up your name, that each of us will be blessed by your presence in our meditations of the word, the praises we sing and prayers we make in honor and glory to your name and blessing to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So, fellowship time now. If you want, if you are able, please stand up and greet each other in Christian love.
Well, I'm glad you feel better now.
Please stand and join us. His eye is on the sparrow.
Why should the
Thank you. Beautiful song. Please remain standing. We will read the responsive reading now. Psalm 122, verses 1 through 9. Page 845.
I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord."
Our feet were standing within your gates, O Jerusalem.
Jerusalem is built as a city and is bound firmly together, to which the group, which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to give thanks to the name of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel.
Thrones for judgment were set there, the thrones of the house of David.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
May they prosper and love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers.
For the sake of my relatives and friends, I will say, "Peace be within you."
For the sake of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek your good.
The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. It's our prayer time now, where we bring our prayers of blessings and give thanks to God for all the blessings that we receive in our lives. And also, it is our time to share our burdens between each other and also share together with God, who is our provider, who has promised that he will answer all of our prayers and answer our prayers according to his will and his time. So let us share our prayers of blessings and concerns at this time. The regular prayer request that we are using to pray is on the back of the bulletin in the boxes. Please pray for these people and these items listed there. Continue to pray for Jean McBrayer and Grace Haynes, Harry, Carol, Jerry Raines, George Richard Jones, and the family of Wes, who passed away, Tiffany and the family. Pray for Sean and Amy Conway, too, for their healing. Pray for us in our trip to the Mayo Clinic on Thursday. Please keep me in your prayers also for healing. And Wayne, did you get any results back from your
test? Yeah, it came back okay, no
okay,
problem.
Yeah, he had a biopsy done. That is normal. Thanks be to God for that.
Amen.
Are there any special prayer requests to call out? Yes, Robert.
A friend of mine, Gary, he's really my best friend. He lives in the Florida Keys. And I contacted him yesterday. He's in a Miami hospital with heart problems.
The storm.
And not only that, but also the ones that lost their homes.
Yeah, people who are affected by the storm lost their homes. Keep all of those in our prayers as well.
Yes, I heard this morning it was 32 deaths so far.
Yeah. Not in Georgia though, right? It's in the Missouri, some other state.
Across the U.S.
Across the U.S.
Across the U.S.
So keep those in our prayers. Continue to pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, and all those who serve us in the behind the scenes on a daily basis. Our nation, our president, leaders of the Congress, and all the governors and many others who make decisions, that they will trust in God and also will have the wisdom of God when they make decisions. And also pray for the world leaders so that they will also make decisions fearing God and bringing peace to this world. I continue to pray for our church and all the churches in this community that are ministering to the needs of the people. Let us pray that we will be faithful in the opportunities that God has given us to do to serve others. And all the pastors in this community, bishops and leaders of the church world at large, that they will also be strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit as they work in the vineyard of the Lord with his message of love. Those are the prayer requests that we have. There are no other call outs. Let us go to God in prayer, spend a few moments in silent prayer, and then close with a summarized prayer after that. Let us pray. The scripture says that do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, bring your request to God, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Merciful and gracious God, we come before you as your children during this prayer time. Thank you for the many blessings that you give us every day. Thank you for the gift of this season change as we look forward to the spring season heading ahead of us. And also the seasons of life that you have led us through. As we look back, the many seasons of life that you have gone through and you have been there, your faithfulness has been from everlasting to everlasting. We thank you for your love and mercy that continue to follow us. Thank you, Lord, for covering us with your protection and safety, even when we are not aware of it. Your hand is holding us every day, keeping us safe from accidents and death and all kinds of problems around us, Lord. We thank you for that. We come before you with our needs and burdens also, God, because we are broken in many different ways, in our bodies, in our minds, in our spirits. The scripture says even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Lord, you are our strength when we find ourselves weak. You are our friend when we find ourselves lonely, O God. And when we go through life's sorrows and comfort, sorrows and grief, you are the only one who can give us peace and comfort. And we come before you because you are the source of all true healing and peace and comfort. Grant healing to our bodies and restore strength and power to our bodies who need us. Especially, we pray for Jean and Grace and Harry, Carol, Jerry, George, and we pray for Sean and Amy Conway. We need healing for their bodies. We especially also pray for Gary as we shared his sickness yet today. Be with him wherever he is. Bless them with your healing, O God. Above all, we pray for peace in their lives and in their families' lives. We pray for the family of Tiffany and family of Tiffany and the family of Wes who passed away. We pray for your comforting peace to be with them. And we pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, and many, many others who serve us on a daily basis behind the scenes. We thank you for their services and bless them with your grace and their families, Lord. We pray for our nation, our president, leaders of the Congress, and governors, and many others who make decisions that affect our lives. We pray that you will give them the wisdom from above to make the right decisions that will bring good to the people. We pray for the world leaders also as they make decisions that they will fear God and will bring peace to this world. We pray for our church and we thank you for this opportunity you gave us in this area to be your witness in this community. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in using all the opportunities that you give us to serve others. Pray for all the churches and pastors in this community and around the world. Bless them with your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit, that they will be faithful in the witness that they are doing. Be with us today, Lord. Help us to worship you in truth and in spirit, to lift up your name. In the meditation of the word, that you will empower us with your power of the word, so that as we go from this place, that we can be more powerful witnesses for your love wherever you place us, Lord. Let your name be lifted up, your people be blessed. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come forward and take up the offertory, please. Good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Loving God, you are the source of all that we have, and you are merciful and gracious that you give us everything, even we ask of you. Help us, Lord, to understand that in Jesus Christ you have given us more than we could ever deserve. We thank you for all those who were able to give joyfully today, O God, and pray for those who could not give today. Remember all of them in your love. Bless and help us to use this offertory to share your love in this community and around the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, as you remain standing, we will read the scripture now, which is taken from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 32. It's on the screen if you want to follow.
You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Holy God, we thank you for the gift of your holy word. You give us so that we can nourish our souls every moment of our lives. You speak to us through your word, Lord. Help us, Lord, to open our eyes and our hearts so that we can listen and understand and apply that in our lives to be a blessing. The scripture says that your word is life and spirit. As we receive it, help us to experience the life and spirit of your word in our lives. As we meditate on your word today, illumine our souls so that we can understand the meaning of the message we hear. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we continue with our Lent study, and Ephesians is the letter that we chose to start the study on. And it is one of the prison letters. There are four letters that we talked about. And Ephesian church is in Ephesus. Right now it's in part of Turkey that we were able to visit there. And we saw some of the places that Paul actually went. And in the Acts of the Book of Acts of the Apostles, in 16 through 19 chapter, we read about the establishment of this church when first Paul went there and preached to them and started the church. Now, when he writes this letter, it's several years after that, he is now in prison in Rome because he preached Jesus Christ, the new gospel, and the Jewish people did not like him, so they tried to kill him. But he wanted to be tried by the Roman government, so he appealed to the court system there to be taken to Rome, because Rome was ruling the Jewish people at the time. So he didn't want to be judged and sentenced by the Jewish law. Rather, he would rather go to Rome and get tried by Rome. So he had choice. So they took him to Rome, and he's in a home arrest, actually imprisonment in a home. So he did have some freedom. So he did have visitors. And he was able to write. So a lot of these letters, that four of them were written, historically we know that the four of them definitely were written while he was in the prison, in the home imprisonment there, house arrest, some people call it. But there are maybe other letters. But out of the 27 books of the New Testament, about 14 of them, 13 or 14, depending on how you look at Hebrews doesn't have an author, so we don't know if exactly Paul wrote it, but 14 of them, more than half, were written by Paul. So Paul is considered to be the architect of the church of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the founder, or he is the foundation stone, where he used apostles to build the church up. So he had 12 apostles, and then Paul came also as an apostle because Jesus Christ revealed himself to him and sent him as an apostle to preach the gospel. The meaning of the word apostle is nothing but a person who is sent with a purpose. That is the meaning of the word apostle means. A lot of times we connect that word with the Christian ministry as an apostle. But anybody who has a message or a mission, who is sent for a purpose, is called an apostle. So Paul is also an apostle in a sense that Jesus revealed himself to him and said, you are going to be my witness to the ends of the world just like the other 12. So he considered himself, and we acknowledge him also as one of the apostles, even though he was not with Jesus Christ during his ministry in person. But he also saw Jesus Christ in a vision. So he is teaching, so he is considered to be the architect of the Church of Jesus Christ. The way we see here today, with all his letters, and the foundation of the doctrines that he laid became the foundation of the church. So Paul is considered to be the architect of the New Testament Church of Jesus Christ. Even though Peter is considered to be the rock on which Jesus said he will build the church on. That's what, because Peter was with Jesus. So they had some conflicts in the beginning to accept Paul as an apostle because he was not among the 12. And also, if you look at the history of Paul, he persecuted the church and he killed Christians because he was a very ardent Jewish teacher. You know, the Jewish people didn't like Jesus' teaching because they wanted to kill him.
Amen.
And Paul was one of the soldiers who actually took the orders from the high priest, and he was on his way to kill Christians. And on the way to Damascus to kill Christians, Jesus Christ appeared him on the way. I mean, you can read all of that in the Acts.
Amen.
And then that's where Jesus gave him the ministry of an apostle and go and preach the word. And to preach the word to the Gentiles. So most of the apostles who were with Jesus preached the gospel to the Jewish people, because they were Jewish background, and they initially believed that the message of the Messiah is only for the Jewish people. But that is not what God's message to the world is. It is for everybody.
Amen.
And then when Jesus revealed himself to Paul on the way to Damascus, he told, "You will become my witness as an apostle to the Gentile, non-Jewish people," even though he was a Jew. So he set his mission to the Asia Minor countries, the Syrian, the Damascus, the Turkey, Iran, Persia, all of those areas that he could go and travel. And he did two major missionary journeys. He dedicated his life for the sake of the gospel. And he went to Ephesus, also established churches there. Then he went to Greece. He went to Athens. He went to Rome. So all of these places we have churches. And he have letters he wrote to these churches there too. And finally he came back to Jerusalem. That's where he got arrested and he sent back to Rome again as a prisoner. He never came back, and history says that in the 63 AD, 64 AD, when Emperor Nero was ruling Rome and there was a big fire, and the emperor, he was playing the fiddle, right?
Yes.
The well-known saying about the emperor, have you heard about it? When Rome was burning, he had no idea what was going on. He was out of touch with the people, and instead he enjoyed his luxury life, and he got out of touch with what is happening. And people send him message that the city is burning and they don't have food to eat. And you know what he said? Give them cake. So he had, there's an emperor. And finally the people revolted against him. And he thought the whole revolt was started by the Christians, because Christians was a big movement at moving up, and Paul was one of the leaders, and Peter was another leader. Peter was also imprisoned in Rome at that time. And history says that around that time, 63-64 AD, when he started to kill a lot of Christians, and Paul was one of them who was beheaded by Emperor Nero. He never got a trial. And Peter was also killed during that time by Nero. The history says that Paul was beheaded and Peter was crucified upside down, because he was about to be crucified, to taken to the crucifixion place, and he said, "My Lord was crucified upside, I want to kiss his feet, so I want to be crucified upside down." That's what history says, but there's nothing in the Bible about that, but that's what many of the historians have recorded like that. So the main stalwarts of our Christianity, Peter and Paul, were killed by that emperor in Rome. And Paul, when he writes this letter, his burden was always about the churches. And he always prayed for the churches, even though he was going through a difficult time with his health and also with his imprisonment. He didn't know what was waiting for him. Then he was always praying for the church and how to build up the church that Jesus Christ. And in chapter 1 and 2, we talked about who we are, and as we God's children, we are God's children, we need to know who we are. And also, we ought to know who God is, that God is our Father, and we are God's children. So we are reminded by Paul, in almost all his letters, that don't forget that you are a child of God. And when you are a child of God, it means that you know who you are and who you know who your Father is. That's what it means. I am a child of God. When I say that I mean that I know who I am and I know who my Father is. That's what it means. So don't forget that. That's what we talked about in chapter 1 and 2. In chapter 3, he is actually has a long prayer for these churches. So I didn't go through that. It's about praying for them, for them to be continued in God's grace. So he has a long prayer there. In chapter 4, he talks about building each other up. So you are called to be a church, to spread the word of God, the love of Jesus Christ to this world. You have to be united as one body. In this world, our life is given in this world not to be alone.
Amen.
We are not to be supposed to be alone. When God created Adam, he said it is not good for man to be alone. So he created Eve as a partner, as a friend, to have companionship. Not to rule each other, but to be companion to each other, to be a companion and a friend. So we are created as social beings. That's what human beings are, unlike many other animals. We are supposed to be together. And life is not to be lived in isolation. God designed us as a community to strengthen and encourage each other. So Paul is telling in this chapter 4 that we ought to live together and encourage each other by building each other up rather than tearing each other down. In the animal world, when they tear each other down, when difficulty comes, they fight. I mean, I see these geese flocks come in our backyard during, you know, when spring starts. They're like 20, 30 of them come in one group. They all travel together. You can see that. And you think that they are all friends. They are not really. They travel together for survival.
Yes.
But they don't like each other. You can see them fighting each other. And one time, one of them got, one of them killed in our backyard, in the same group. I said, I thought these people were friends. They are not. They stick together just for survival. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Not because they... But unlike those animals and birds, even though they are together, we are together not for survival. We can survive by ourselves for some time. But that is not what God meant us to be. We are social beings. So we have to be connected and united together. So don't be isolated. That's what Paul is teaching them. Even though I am not there with you, you are a group of people who know the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are to grow in Christ. In order to grow, you have to stay united and build each other up.
Amen.
So we have to encourage each other. Because we are one body. And Paul, in many letters, talk about the body as an example. And our organs as our members. Our church is the body. And each of us is an organ of the body. Mm-hmm. You cannot say, I'm not the leg, so I'm just my hand. The hand cannot say to the leg, "Said you mind your business." You cannot do that. If your leg hurts and if your leg suffers, your whole body suffers. Right? That's what it is. So no organ is more important or less important. Every organ is built unique. So he says that in this book also and in other letters also, that we are worked together as one body of different organs that God has given us. And also we build each other up. Like when you go to the Home Depot or a store like that, you see all of this building material there. You know, when I walked through this, I was thinking about Paul's writing, how to build the church up. And you see all of this wood and lumber and cement and metal and all kinds of different material in various sections, right? They're all in different sections. Mm-hmm. In order to build a house, you know that you need lumber, you need metal, you need all kinds of stuff, cement and stone or whatever you need. And you go and pick up all these things from different places. And when you look at those things, it doesn't look anywhere near like a building. But in the hands of an architect or a good planner or a builder, all of these things will be piled up and then eventually it becomes a beautiful home. Even though individually they have no way to look at a house like that. They are completely different. That is how God has built us together. We all are unique with unique organ functions. Some of us can sing, you know, some of us can preach, Some of us can teach, some of us can just pray and support each other. So each of us as a person is an organ of the whole body of Christ, given a unique talent. And Paul is telling them, use your talent, whatever it is, to build each other up, to support each other. Strengthen your body. Use your gifts to strengthen your body. Talk about apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors, teachers, who can equip the saints for the work in the ministry. Building each other up means recognizing the gift of others and supporting the work together for the kingdom of God. No one ministry is better or greater than the other. The one who cleans the bathroom in the church is as important as the preacher who preaches in the church. Amen. Everybody has a function. God, it's Amen. A gift that God has given us. And the singer and the pianist, everybody come together and build each other up. Then also he's talking about to grow in spiritual maturity. If you don't grow, what does that mean? A living thing will definitely grow. That is one of the things of signs of life, right? What is the sign of life?
Yes.
Sign of life is study in biology. One of the primary things that they will teach you is the sign of life is growth. Every living being, every living thing will grow. And maybe we don't feel like we are growing at some point. But life, growth is the sign of life. If you are not growing, that means you are dead, basically. That's what it means. You are dead. So as a church, a living organism, you have to grow in maturity, in love, in care and in compassion, and in faith. We have to grow in our love and care and compassion and in our faith. So when we build each other up, we build each other up and encourage each other to grow in our faith, to grow in our love, in grow in our compassion to this world and to each other. Without that, we are not able to function. And that is how we build our church up to maturity. Attaining maturity, the fullness of Christ, to share and grow in the love of Christ. Encouraging each other is to uplift and strengthen. And also we can pray. We should be able to pray for one another. As in Thessalonians, another letter that he wrote, he says like this, therefore encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. So mutual upbuilding is very important. And sometimes we think that coming to church is for our own sake. It is not. It is good to be blessed by a worship service, coming to church. But coming to church is also a way of encouraging each other, seeing together here, sharing our burdens, and also worshiping God together is supporting each other. So it is very important to gather together to worship. It is not just for me. Of course, it is a blessing to me to be in church. But at the same time, my presence brings blessing to somebody else, knowingly or unknowingly. Together, that is the importance of gathering in church. Many people say that, oh, you can worship God anywhere. You can do that at home. Yeah, we saw that in COVID time. And we were dying to get back to church. Remember that? You asked me to open the church in 2 months when they were all closed down. We did. Because the people who love each other, care for each other, to build up each other, you have to be together. And I'm so glad that Wayne and others take the time to go to lunch together. That's a big fellowship, to have that connection, to build each other up. We have to take our time to be together, come to church as much as possible, to encourage others by our presence, and also our words and our deeds. Our words and our deeds matter a lot. Words are more powerful than our deeds.
Yes.
Because sometimes we don't know how it can. You know, he's talking about do not hurt other people with your words. Sometimes unknowingly we do that. You don't have to curse anybody to hurt somebody, right? You don't have to use bad words at all. You can use good words to hurt others.
Yes.
Because I had a church that we went to years ago, that they had assigned pews in the church. And there was a visitor who came with a big family. And this person came and told them to move. And You know, everybody else knew why he said, asked him to move. But the people who came there as visitors never came back. And it happened to another family who came with a bunch of kids. And that church is mostly like our church, and with no kids there. And they don't like kids either. They never wanted kids in the church. So they make a lot of noise and distraction. And they're like five or six kids in the same pew, you know, like small to her. And somebody told him during the fellowship time that the kids are not allowed in this church. Before the service ended, they left. We didn't know what happened, but we found out later. So these are the words that we have to be very careful. I mean, we may have our own little feelings, but when it comes to the big body of Christ, it is more than us. Always remember, body of Christ is bigger than myself. We have to consider as one group, united in Christ's love, serving each other and building each other up. Paul gave this, encourage one another and build each other up. Each of us should please our neighbors and do good to them and build them up. Building each other is to share our talents and blessings, as I told you. There's a verse in the Bible that talks about the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith. The carpenter encouraged, and we read that in Isaiah, the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith. Because they two have two different functions. They don't have to really do with each other. One works with wood and the goldsmith works with metal. But they encouraged each other in the building of the temple, or the temple of God. So they need each other. The carpenter operates on wood and the goldsmith on gold, but one uses a hammer and chisel, the other works with the fine instruments. Like we have different instruments that we use. Music, preaching, teaching, and caring for others, and maybe cooking. Whatever talents that we have, we can encourage each other with our talents. So that is what Jesus reinforced, this very same principle in Mark 12. He said, the parable of the 10 talents. Use your talents. Use your talents and make it productive. Don't bury it, just like we saw about in that parables. Building each other means to comfort each other in sufferings. We are there to hold on to each other. When we go through painful situations and sufferings, we are to encourage each other by supporting each other. One of the stories that I was sharing earlier today was there was a lady who was taking care of her husband, a movie star who died. They did not find their body for like 8 days. Because she was the caretaker. You remember that? She was the caretaker. And he had dementia. And she was, I think, 20 or 30 years younger than him. He never thought that she would die before him. My next door neighbor said the same thing. His wife passed away 6 months ago. And when I visited him, said, Matthew, she is younger than me. I never thought she would, you know, die before me. And you never know what happens. But be careful. So we care for each other, knowing not who is going to be first. Regardless of that, but we know that we can take care of each other if we are in the love. Building each other is the ministry of the church. That's the ministry of the church, to build each other up. Without building and uplifting each other, we will not be able to survive, and we will not be able to grow the church. There was a disabled home in India. One of my friends went there to visit the disabled home. There are people who don't have limbs, legs or hands. Some of them are blind. So this is a home for the disabled people. And he went there, and during every mealtime, there is a big commotion that he would see, like a procession coming. So that he was very curious as to what that was, and he went and looked there, and he saw a man carrying another man in his back. And there a lot of people are cheering them and crowding. That's every mealtime this happens. And what he saw was that two young men, one riding on the other's back, pretending to be like a horse and a rider. And he was told that the man who carried the front was blind, and the man being carried was lame. So the blind man was carrying the lame man, and one became the eyes for the other, and feet for the other person who is born was lame. The one who couldn't see used his feet, and the one who could not walk used his eyes. And I later found out that as one started doing this, and it's like a big in the procession every mealtime, more and more people started doing this. Like 3 or 4 people doing that in that facility now. What a wonderful scene it is. That's what we ought to be. You know, there are people who can see, can help each other. Some others can walk. We have all different kinds of issues and problems. But by supporting and lifting and helping each other, we can be uplifting and supporting to others and building the church. As Christians, our purpose may be difficult to determine alone. But if we join with other Christians in community, we have a bigger purpose we can accomplish. Christians need one another. Some lead worship, some play music, some share the God's word. This wonderful unity strengthens us, and it's beautiful when Christians build up each other and work towards service of God. As we go from this place, may the Spirit of God unite us and empower us so that we can be united and encouraging, building up each other so that we can be a powerful ministry of God in this community and wherever God places us. May the good Lord bless us with these words as we go from this place. Amen.
Amen.
The closing hymn is 381, Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us. If you are able, please stand.
Like a shepherd lead us, much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us, for our use thy force prepare. Blessed Jesus, thou hast poured us thine beyond. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast brought us thine beyond. We are thy dozen, befriend us, be the guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin, defend us, save us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, hero, hear us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, hero, hear us when we pray. Thou hast promised to receive us, poor and sinful though we be. Thou hast mercy to receive us, grace to cleanse and power to free. Blessed Jesus, we'll return to thee. Blessed Jesus, we'll return. Seek thy favor, early let us do thy will. Blessed Lord and only Savior, with thy law our bosoms fill. Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us still. Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us, love us still.
People of God, God calls us to build each other up, not to tear each other down. As we walk worthy of our calling, use our gifts and our opportunities to strengthen each other as a body of Christ. Ask God to help us to be instruments of His love and unity in this world. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen.